Good morning.
Morning.
Can you hear me? We're good? You guys got the good stuff. See, I don't have the lapel mic and all of that. And I get a little loud, so somebody may want to turn me down a little bit. It's not that I'm mad. I just kind of get excited when I'm up here every now and again. Good to see you all here today. I want to thank you all for the invitation to share the little bit that I know from God's Word with you. Me and Dion have a lot of history together. We always had cross paths, but we've known each other probably since we were both 18 or 19 years old. And when I moved here, found out that he was here, and we started having some conversation and some dialogue and have been encouraging each other in the ministry, sometimes commiserating together in the ministry, and folk who are committed to the ministry knows the weight of that statement. But God is good, and I'm excited to be here. I really appreciate Dion and Christy, but I appreciate one of the biggest qualities I appreciate about Dion, and then I'm going to go ahead and preach and stop swelling him up so much, right? is that he's honest. You know, he's an honest man. And what I mean by that, not honest because he ain't going to lie to you, but honest because he's honest with what the Spirit tells him. He's honest with his investigation of the Word of God. And we have had many biblical studies and biblical conversations about various topics in the church, and even in particular in the churches of Christ. Just a little background, because I know you guys, some of your eyebrows probably went up and said, Family Fellowship Church of Christ. And Dion was, I appreciate him because even in our conversations, he was probably the first person to openly support us starting the Family Fellowship Church of Christ in Gahanna. We didn't have any support, and he was the first one to really just said, hey, you know, I'm behind you, and I'm excited about what God's going to do for you. So we're doing very well in Gahanna. God is blessing our ministry, and we're just excited. You know, glory be to his name. We take no credit for it because we really don't know what we're doing. We're just being obedient, and God is adding the increase, and he gets it all. He gets all of the glory. Amen. I'll be honest with you, I struggled a little bit. Dion calls me and tells me, listen, man, you can, you know, we're doing this series, you know, I've been doing it for a whole year, going from Luke to Acts, and, you know, I'm gonna give you two options. You can do whatever you want, that's one option, you know, and whatever you want always sounds great, right? He said, or you can, we're gonna be in Acts chapter 10, and you can, you know, talk about Cornelius. I'm like, okay, yeah, sure. So as I'm doing the study, I'm vacillating like, oh man, you know, because usually when you go visit a church, you know, you're supposed to go get your best sermon. You're supposed to go get the one off the top shelf. You dust it off, you know, the one that's gleaming and beaming, you know, so everybody, you know, the amen corner, you know, I want to, you know, leave here and leave y'all with a bunch of, what does Dion say? I want to hear a bunch of A-mizzles. Does Dion still say A-mizzle? That's old, isn't it, right? Yeah. Well, at least he's moving on and can stay in time with the trends of today. But I'm here to share some things with you, and I believe the Word of God is powerful. I believe the Word of God comforts the afflicted and afflicts the comfortable. So whatever category you are in today, the Word of God will affect you if you're honest with yourself and if you're honest with what it tells you about who you are and what you're looking at. James called the Word of God a mirror, like you're looking in the mirror, and it's going to reveal all of the filth and dirt and all of the things that isn't quite right with you, not so that you can just be mortified by it, but that you might be willing to change what you see and what it shows you. So my hope today is that I challenge you and that the Word of God challenges you today. I'm going to ask you to do one thing for me, and then I won't bother you anymore. Stand on your feet. I want you to just pray with me as I go to God in prayer. Pray with me, please lift your head and open your eyes as we go to God in prayer. Father God, we thank you for being here with us today. Father, we thank you that you have allowed us to come here, and Lord, you are a specific God, and everything you do has some specific intention. And so Lord, as the Word of God is preached today, Father, I pray that it impacts all of those who hear it, that a seed will be planted in their hearts, and that it will germinate and produce much fruit in their lives. Father, that they will be drawn closer to you. Lord, speak through me today, Lord. Let me remove myself, and you speak through me today, Lord. And I want you to use me as your vessel, that it not be about me, but it be about your word, and it be about your truth, Father, that you might impact everyone that hears it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Some of you couldn't keep your eyes open. I did that on purpose. I want to challenge you today Because what we normally do comfortably and we go through the motions and all of our traditions, sometimes it becomes so monotonous that we're really not really engaged. We're just kind of going through the motions. And that's why I did that. That's why you always hear, and you know what we always say, close your eyes and bow your heads. Well, who says we can't pray with our eyes open? Who says we can't lift our head up, lift our hands up? Amen? Amen. I'm not telling you to do that. I'm just letting you know that sometimes you need to change. I just shaved my head bald. I'm in the club, bro. I'm proud. Just shaved my head bald, I think Thursday. My kids said, man, you got a muscle head. Daddy, you look funny. Even my wife didn't approve. I said, you're gonna have to get used to it, baby. In 20 years of marriage, I said, hey, I still look good. You can't tell me I don't look good. But I'm like, hey, you know, but here's the thing, change. And I know I only got 30 minutes, but we're not counting yet, right? Okay. Change, and I'm forcing myself to go through some change, and sometimes change is difficult, but you gotta be intentional about some changes. So yeah, I shaved my head bald, been talking about it for 2 years. You ever talk about a bunch of changes you said you were gonna do, and just never do them, never get around to do them, but you keep talking about them every year? I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that. No, I said, no, this year I'm changing. Starting Monday, tomorrow, start going to the gym in the morning. I'm not a morning guy, but I'm trying something different. Change. We don't like change. I'm gonna go ahead and get into my lesson. Continue to pray for Dion as he comes on his way back to you. And I'm gonna read quite a few scriptures here before we get into the meat of this. John chapter 1, verse 1 through 17. Are these in order? These are kind of out of order here. I must have hit something, didn't I? These might be out of order here, maybe. Yeah, they are. It's all good. The word of God will still preach. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. I'll put up what's up here, but I can't promise that it's all gonna be right. Sorry, we'll go with this. John chapter 1, we'll start right here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and light, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Then we drop down to verse number 14. The Word became flesh. Notice how we just skip all of the middle part, right? Because we just need to get that 14 to attach it to number 1, right? I'm being facetious. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. In verse 17, he says, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. One thing about the Word of God, And it's interesting because when Jesus always talked, we always look at the words of Christ. Jesus would talk and he would say these words, and he was always talking to people, especially when he was talking to religious people. They would always be wondering, you know, what is he quoting? What, you know, Moses said this, Moses wrote that. But Jesus was more concerned about explaining what it meant more than only saying what it said. He would quote what was written, but he was expounding upon what was meant by it. He wasn't trying to necessarily interpret the Word of God. He was trying to explain the will of God. Stay with me here. And people marveled at how Jesus taught. In John chapter number 7, John chapter number 7, oh, somebody's back there. Awesome. John chapter number 7, he would say the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught as one having authority and not as the scribes. He taught as one having authority and not as the scribes. See, the scribes could only talk about what had been written. And one of the reasons why Jesus had a problem with the scribes and Pharisees in particular, when he was always coming at them, was because you know what the scribes were doing? They were more concerned about lining up their understanding of scripture and of prophecy with their predecessors, more than they were with being open to the Holy Spirit revealing it and God revealing truth to them. And sometimes, even in today, we fall into that trap where I'm more concerned about whether my message lines up with, you know, brother pastor so-and-so from, you know, 1960. And if I don't, somebody's going to crucify me one Sunday if I dare say anything that sounds even remotely a little different from what he said. I told you, yeah. I know that somebody said I was gonna pick a fight. That's not really. I didn't expect him to repeat that. You know, first impressions are everything. So I'm not really here to fight. But don't walk up on me. I might swing first. But I'm just saying. I'm just kidding. But as it pertains to the word, it's important. Look at 2 Timothy 3. And I'm quoting some of these scriptures that we've always thrown around. These are our favorites, boy. As the churches of Christ, we love throwing those scriptures around. We like, yeah, in the beginning, the word. We quote that. And then there's another favorite one, 2 Timothy chapter 3. But as for you, continue in what you have learned, we don't read this part, and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you what? Wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And this is the part where I've quoted this 1,000 times in my arguments and debates with people about the word. All scripture. If you like some of them old time preachers, not some of it, all of it. All scripture is written by the inspiration of God, that's King James, is God breathed. It's useful for teaching. That shows you how to get right. Useful for rebuking. Shows you how to stay right. I like this because there was a preacher that did this. It sounded so cool, so I was trying to do it just like him. And then correcting and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped unto every good work. Yes, the word of God is powerful. But I got news for you. The word of God is a means to an end. Say that with me. The word of God is a means to an end. It is not an end in and of itself. And it's important that as believers and as Christians, we understand the word of God is supreme. The word of God is preeminent. The word of God needs to be at the very top. But do you know why it should be at the top? Because if you are confused as to why it is supreme, then you may end up using it improperly. It is a means to an end. In Isaiah chapter 55, in verse 10 and 11, it says, as the rain and the snow come down, Isaiah writes, from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so my word that goes out from my mouth, it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish, somebody say accomplish. It will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for what I sent it. God is saying my word has a purpose. It is not just there for us to pontificate on. It's not just there for us to consider and to tickle our intellect and say, ooh, that's profound. That's wonderful. I can use that in my business, and I can use that in my marriage, and I can use that in raising my kids. The word of God is supposed to accomplish something. It's supposed to achieve something. So if I don't follow the word and with the idea of what I'm trying to accomplish, then I'm just following a bunch of rules with no end in sight. And there are some of us that have, and I was that person. I used to always just to start and stop with the word. Yeah, I was the best legalist. Oh my gosh. I have had many arguments. And you know what? I don't think I've lost one yet. See, legally, I didn't lose. I got my facts in order. I went through the whole Bible. I wrote down every scripture that talked about the word and if some of y'all old school folk in the one church and baptism and worship and no instruments, all of that. I had every debate there was, and I was good at what I did. And then one day I woke up and realized that I didn't have a relationship with God. I got a lot of rules. I got the facts right. Know the word, got a knowledge of the scriptures, but was clueless about the will of God. Why? Because the word of God is a means to an end. It's supposed to accomplish the will of God. The word of God is supposed to accomplish the will of God. We're about to get into Acts here in a second. So this is why I was a little bit uncomfortable about sharing this, because some of this is going to be partially my testimony to you all as well, to try to encourage you. The will of God on the board here, the definition here is what one wishes or has determined shall be done. So when the Bible talks about the will of God, it's what God has determined or wishes to be done. And many times we used to kind of use the word of God and the will of God, and we would kind of superimpose them over each other and talk about them as if they were the same. They are related, but they are also distinct from one another. Because the word of God is going to tell you kind of the what to do and what you need to accomplish, what you need to do, the steps and where you need to go and how you need to be. But the will of God is going to tell you what is it at the end of the day, at the end of all the activities, what is it that God is trying to achieve holistically? What is he really trying to do? And that ought to be the question that we're asking, not only as a body of believers, but even as individuals. God, what is the will for my life? What is it that you want for me? Taught a study a few weeks ago, and we were talking about the will of God, and we were talking about how, you know, we can ask God for something, and it's okay to ask. You need to ask in faith, but you need to be open to what God wants for you. And so I say it like this. You got to make sure that it's okay to tell God what you want. Tell him in detail. Ask for the world, whatever it is that you want to ask God for. But just make sure that what you want from God isn't bigger than what God wants for you. That you don't get tunnel vision and say, God, I asked you for this, but you didn't answer. No, there's something that God wants for your life. So don't get stuck only on what you want God to do and to get from God. Be open to what God is trying to do for you. Turn now to Acts chapter 10, and we're going to jump right in here. The will of God is important. And I'll quote a few scriptures here. Remember this scripture? I used to tell everybody who thought they knew the way they were walking and worshiping was right, I would use this scripture. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Who does the will, not who knows the word, but who does the will. What's the will? That which God desires to see happen. Not what God desires you to say. Not what God desires you to know. But if you do the will of my Father. Matthew 12 and 50. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my what?
My brother
and my sister. Not who knows the word. Not who got baptized and was submerged and not sprinkled. Not who's at a church who doesn't have instruments. Not any of those things. He said, no, the person who does the will. Yeah, this messed with me when I discovered this before. I was like, wow, I have to do some stuff. I know a bunch of stuff. I ain't been doing much, but I know a lot. So I got to do some stuff, God? Yes, absolutely. Acts chapter 10 and verse number one here. At Caesarea, there was a man. I'm going to show you how this all connects here. There was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day, at about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? He asked. The angel answered, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea. When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. This is Cornelius. Cornelius is a centurion. He's in this Roman army. He's a Gentile, but he was a devout believer, and he prayed daily, and he gave to the poor as he was prompted. Now, he's a convicted believer in the one true God. And scholars actually said that he wouldn't even allow idolaters in his house. Because see, Gentiles at this time, they worshiped false gods. And he wouldn't even, you can't come in my house. He was that kind of a Gentile, which was different because most Gentiles did worship idols. Now, what's interesting here is that he did not practice and follow Jewish tradition. He wasn't reading up on Moses, and he wasn't following all of the laws and the rules and the Levitical order. He wasn't following any of that.
But yet heaven acknowledges his prayer. Heaven acknowledges his offering and his giving to the poor. His, excuse me, his devout posture of wanting to know who God was. So basically his worship was his prayer life. Can I bring it to today? He didn't worship like us. He was rough around the edges. How many of you guys, anybody like here out here fish? Love to fish? I love fishing. Fly fishing? You look like a fly fisherman. And yeah. It's from Nebraska? Okay. But I'm on this fishing kick. I'm fishing. Matter of fact, I might cut this sermon short because I'm trying to get the Hoover Dam in a little while. I'm just saying, but I love to fish right now. I'm fishing like crazy, and my wife's saying, look, you know, this is getting crazy. She's thinking it's a phase I'm going through, so she's hoping that it passes. But, you know, I'm hitting that water every chance I get. And but I used to love to fish. But I went out there a couple weeks ago one Saturday, and I was blessed. There was a man out there, and I was out there with another minister friend of mine. And he has a boat, so I go with him from time to time. And he actually sells refurbished engines, but he's always looking to help somebody. So he sees this guy out there who has this little putt-putt engine, a little 2-horsepower engine. He's out there at Hoover. We're like, dude, you're going to drown. So he's struggling to get his engine started, and so my buddy sees it, and he said, hey, listen, I'm going to help this guy. So he says, look, man, I got a 5-horsepower engine at my house. Man, you want me to go get it for you? You go ahead. He's like, well, I don't know if I can afford it. He says, look, just take it and hold it for the weekend. We'll talk about price later. So he goes home, he gets it, hooks the guy up. So anyway, while I'm waiting, he's sitting in his boat, I'm sitting in our boat. My guy's going to get the engine, and I'm talking with him. And this man, you know, as he sits there, you can see he looks rough around the edges. You know, got this little cigar and cigarettes down in his mouth, you know, holding it, you know, talking. Didn't really, you know, this just real kind of rough guy. He began to tell me his story. And he told me, you know, he said, man, I've been hooked on drugs for 20 years. Crack at it because I was the best at it. I was bad. He said, I've been clean for 2 years, man. He said, and I just can't believe what God is doing in my life. You know, he said, man, I, you know, he says, when my kids used to see me, you know, when I was an addict, he says, when I used to be hooked, you know, on the drugs, he said, they'd see me and they'd be like, hey, what's up? He says, now they say, hey, dad. He said, you know, my honor's being restored. He said, you know, God just thinks my wife loves me. He says, look, I got my weight back. I feel good. I look good. He says, man, God is just doing so much for me. I tell everybody that I see. And he said, you know what? I go to church. He said, I go to church, not as much as I should, but I go more than I ever have before. He said, I go as often as I can. He said, sometimes, man, I can't even sleep at night. My wife be like, what's wrong? He said, I'm just thinking about what God has done for me these last 2 years. I just can't believe it. You know, how God is just so good. You know, I just don't know. And she was like, and he said, I just can't sleep sometimes. I'm so excited. He don't really know much Bible. He don't know my doctrine. And I thought to myself, boy, I got some scriptures. I could straighten him out. Let me see. Okay. So then I asked myself, what is the will of God? This man is reaching out to God. He is seeing God move in his life. I'm just going to mess up my sermon. I'm not going to do it in the order here. I'm going to do it how I feel it. And we have to ask ourselves, am I willing to hear God in a different way than I've heard him before? Cornelius had a vision. Now, keep it real. If I walked in here and said, listen, I had a vision this morning. An angel of the Lord was in my car. He was talking to me. You'd be like, okay, Dion, you can't bring your friends back here no more to preach. Because we're just not comfortable with that. But he had a vision. And it said in the text, it said he distinctly, word was distinctly saw an angel. You know why they put the word distinctly there? Just in case you're like, you know what? He probably didn't see an angel. He probably got blinded by the sun or something, reflection or something. And he thought it was an angel and it wasn't really. Distinctly, I saw an angel of God. What do you say to somebody that comes to you and say, I distinctly saw something supernatural? Are we going to use our legalistic approach and say, well, you know, there's some things in the Bible that have happened, you know, quite often that are, you know, scientific phenomenon. And, you know, there's a scientific explanation as to why these things have occurred. You know, it probably wasn't. I saw an angel, man. I know what I'm talking about. He saw that. So my question is, are we willing to be open to let God speak to us through more than just a sermon, more than just a Bible class, more than just your personal study? Because see, I used to believe that the only way I'm going to hear from God is if I study, you know, study real hard and get all the facts together. But there's something about the will of God that you must acknowledge and realize. The will of God must be revealed to you. God's will must be revealed. Now I'm jumping around here. It must be revealed. So this man blesses my life. Verse 3, so he distinctly sees the angel. And so the will of God is there. So watch this. The will of God must be revealed. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9. I'm just going to quote a few scriptures so you understand what I'm talking about. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. This is what Paul wrote to the Ephesians. The will was a mystery. And according to God's good pleasure, God is pleased for you to know what he's trying to do. It pleases God to do that. He wants us to know. Ephesians 5, 15 to 17, he says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Verse 17, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. I know we want to understand what the Lord's word says, but he said, no, I want you to understand what the Lord's will is. Not just what he said, but what is it that he's trying to do? What is God really trying to accomplish? And then in Colossians 1 and 9, for this reason, since the day Paul was praying for them, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will. Through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And I like that because, you know, when Paul told Timothy, you know, that the scriptures can make you wise about salvation, what is wisdom? Wisdom isn't just knowledge. Wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. It is how does this knowledge work to accomplish a particular outcome? That's what wisdom really is. I'm almost through, actually. This is so important, because now when we get into, I want to focus a little bit on Peter's approach here. Look at Peter. I want you to drop down to verse number 9. I want you to look at this. I want you to show this. Now, we're talking about Cornelius, and this is important, because Cornelius is this guy. He's not a religious guy. He's this dude that just is connected to God, and God has acknowledged it. And the question is, what is Peter going to do about this? Because the rule right now is, it's still in place. Jesus told the apostles, don't go to the Gentiles, just go to the Jews. Now, if I was Peter, being the legalist that I am, I'd be like, hold up. I know that, you know, Jesus said this. I'm quoting Jesus. Jesus said, don't go to the Gentiles, go to the Jews. So I'm just saying, I know God's talking to you and everything, but Law of Moses said we're not supposed to affiliate and connect with you. So it wasn't even right for Peter to affiliate with this man. It was against the rules, so it's not even right. But look at what happens here. I want to show you something, the kind of man Peter has to be in order to do this. In verse 9, about noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, so the men were on their way. Peter doesn't know. Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. Oh boy. Vision. Trance, and he saw heaven open and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals as well as reptiles on the earth and birds of the air. Then a voice told him, get up, Peter, kill and eat. Surely not, Lord, Peter replied. I have never eaten anything impure or unclean. The voice spoke to him a second time. Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. And while Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. Now, trance. You ever gone into them like idiot trances one time and just kind of lose it? I've done that. You know, you just be sitting there and you know, someone's talking to you and all of a sudden you're just kind of like, it's almost like you're looking through them. Even if they like adjust and they move over here, you're still kind of like looking here. And they're talking and you're clueless. You don't know where they are. You just went into a trance. We call it daydreaming, right? Well, that's kind of what it was. He went into a trance. He's up there praying and he just went into a trance in the middle of the day. And again, I keep challenging myself, can God talk to me through a trance? Can God talk to me through a vision? I mean, he said he saw heaven. God, you're going to show me heaven through a trance. So while I'm sitting up here, I'm driving my car and I go into a trance, and that's, I call that autopilot, by the way. I don't go into a trance and crash. It's called autopilot. Don't do it while texting, though, but I'm just saying, you can go into autopilot while you're driving. Anyway, but I, you know, go into those trances, and sometimes God can communicate some things. I have been driving down the road and have been, and my mind has been a wreck. I was going through something, and I was asking God for clarity, and I could not get the answer. I said, God, I need you to help me understand this. I need you to give me clarity. And I was praying for that, and it was on a Monday at 11 a.m. I'm driving down Morse Road, and in the snap of a finger, I was at peace, just like that. God gave me everything. It was almost like all the planets aligned, like, and everything was clear. I'm like, of course. God did that. In the snap of a finger, just like that, he gave me understanding, he gave me clarity. God can do that. God can communicate to us in so many different ways. So Peter is here, and he gets this, and he sees this, but he doesn't understand what it is. And it is possible, y'all, listen, just because God gives you a vision doesn't mean you can't begin your wondering and your pondering. Don't dismiss it just because you don't understand it. We need to still wonder and ask God to give us understanding. Just because it comes in a different way, don't dismiss it. It might be somebody coming to you and sharing something with you. I got to give you another story. I'm sorry. Listen. When I first moved to New Jersey, I went to New Jersey and I was wondering where I was going to worship. And I was all excited because this is the first time I'm moving from Connecticut. I'm only like, you know, 25, 26 years old, got a new job. I'm like, man, I'm excited. I'm sitting in the first pew at church and I'm like, yeah, man, I got to go down to Morristown, New Jersey, and I'm going to visit the church down there, man, and, you know, talk to some folk and see, you know, where, you know, maybe I can worship and some different places to live. And in mid-sentence, a guy sitting behind me in Connecticut said, excuse me, his name was Troy Chisholm. He's a member of the Morristown Church of Christ. And he was like, you talking about coming to the Morristown Church. And of course, you know, then I freaked out. I'm like, oh my gosh, God just spoke. It's confirmation. But yes, it was. To me, it was confirmation. This is supposed to happen. Stuff like that happened. Don't dismiss it. God is trying to talk to you in different ways. He may send somebody into your life. He may send somebody that may just come up to you and say, you know what? I've had you on my mind and I need to pray for you. You know, I was thinking about you. You're about to go through something difficult, and I'm here to pray for you. Don't dismiss the different ways that God may try to come and touch you and to reveal his truth unto you and to let you know what he's trying to do in your life. Because if Peter relies on his legalistic word of God, his Mosaic written law, what Jesus said, and he's not open to the Holy Spirit in this moment, he's going to end up missing out upon doing something that God wants him to do, which is to go with Cornelius, and I'm going to hurry up and get to the end because y'all looking at me funny, and I want to go fishing. So he comes down, and so Peter, it says here that the Holy Spirit, now watch this, in verse number 17, while Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius, they came, they stopped at the gate, verse 18, they called out asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, the Holy Spirit said to him, Simon, three men are looking for you, so get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. Peter went down the stair down and said to them, I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come? The men replied, we have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and a God-fearing man who is respected by all Jewish people. A holy angel told him to have you come to his house. And so here we are. Now, let me get to that last slide, please, as I get ready to wrap this up. And I know we left out the part where, of course, he starts telling him about Jesus Christ and telling him who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit falls on Cornelius and his household. And he it says that the Spirit pours out on them. They start speaking in tongues, different tongues. And he says that how can we deny water? That these cannot be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just like we did on the day of Pentecost, right? So that's a part of this. And we know that happened. What I'm trying to get to is how does Peter know that this is the will of God? How do we get to this point where we can say, God, this is your will, I'm gonna do it? And one thing you're gonna have to understand, as God tries to communicate to you individually and communicate to us collectively, Reynoldsburg Church of Christ, and communicate to us collectively as a body of believers, we gotta be open to how God is trying to talk to us. And we have to be willing to challenge some things. The first point here, the will of God is victory in Jesus. I think, do we have that last slide on there, the three bullets? If not, then we'll just go with it. First of all, the will of God is not convenient. Don't assume that the will of God is going to be convenient and always align with your schedule. It's not. It's not going to be at the perfect time in your life. God will reveal things to you that may be inconvenient. Peter was hungry. He's on the roof waiting for his supper. He's hungry. And now all of a sudden, I got to get up and go with some Gentile that I'm not even supposed to be hanging with because somebody said he had seen an angel. And then we kick in with our preconceived and our bias by saying, well, hold on, that couldn't have happened because I know that the word of God says that God does not hear a sinner. So that couldn't have happened. So let's dismiss that as a possibility. So going back to where we are, this heathen wants me to come to his house. I'm not coming to his house because now I'm gonna be unclean and people are gonna talk about me. No. I need to go do the will of the Lord. I can't be hanging with this Gentile. See what I'm saying? It's not convenient. The second thing is the will of God may not be common. Because of the traditions and the practices among the Jews, and they weren't supposed to hang out, there's gonna be some things that we may have to do. The will of God, and God may be revealing some things to you as an individual about something you need to change in your life, something that you need to be doing. And I believe that some of you, if you look and think deep down and think about some transitions in your life, you already know that there were moments in your life where God confirmed to you in his own way what you should be doing with your life. And we either thought long, we have a saying when we play spades, if you think long, you think wrong, right? And sometimes we do that with our lives. We feel the prompting of God's Spirit telling us, this is what you need to do. This is who you need to talk to. This is where you need to go. This is how you need to be. This is what you need to purge out of your life. And instead of acting upon it, we suppress it because we're saying, no, there's some rules that I was taught that I shouldn't do this because this is the box I have to, this is where God wants me, right here. And we're not open. Young people, you gotta be open to what God is trying to do in your life. He may do something in your life that he's never done with anybody before. When was the last time you did something for the first time? When was the last time you did something and it was the first time it's ever been done? Somebody's got to do it for the first time. Why not you? What if God only revealed something to you? And that's another thing about these revelations. These revelations were personal. The vision that Cornelius had was his vision. The trance and what Peter saw in the trance was his message. God may reveal something to you that's only for you. So guess what? People aren't gonna understand what God showed you. Don't allow what other people think of you to become what you think of you. Because God is revealing things to you. He has a relationship one-to-one with you. And there's things that he may say to you that he wouldn't say, he hadn't said to anybody else. So don't measure whether it's authentic only if everybody agrees with what God told you. And this is important because when we started the Family Fellowship Church, there were some things that we were doing different. And I know people are saying some things, oh, boy, they got instruments, they got this, they got that. Church of Christ is all I know. I've been in Church of Christ since I was 18 years old. I wasn't religious growing up, but Church of Christ is all I have ever known. But when God prompted me about some things that we needed to change, that we studied on and we went into, and now we had to say, okay, now the rubber meets the road. Do we make these changes? What does it mean to make these changes? It means to be ostracized. It means people are gonna call us heretics. It means people are gonna say that we don't love God. People are gonna say we're tearing up the church. People are gonna say all this stuff. Many times, the last point I was gonna put up here is that following the will of God will not always be comfortable. Peter is going to go over to the centurion's house and do what God said. And all his Jewish buddies are going to be like, oh, Peter's unclean. He's wrong. So as it pertains to the will of God for your life, are you willing to dare to step out and be uncomfortable. Because God wants to do some great things in your life, but we have to be willing to be uncomfortable. Cornelius is just a rough around the edges man, just like you and I. And we can't turn away rough around the edges people because they don't do everything exactly the way that we do. Amen? Yeah. I'm getting ready to wrap up. I said that three times. That's what preachers do. We have to say it three times, and then we really wrap up. But I encourage you, as I leave this last testimony to you, and I'm hoping that I'm trying to stir you up a little bit, because I just want you to understand that God can move in so many different ways in your life, and do not insist on him moving the way that you want him to, but accept the way that he chooses to move in your life. And call it what it is. That's God. God moved. God revealed something to me. God showed me something. I remember I used to have debates with my family when I was always trying to convert them from their Baptist church to my church. And, you know, and I made a lot of enemies over the years. And reconciled quite a few of those relationships, by the way. But one of them that really I use as a testimony that moves me is my Aunt Carol. I have an auntie named Carol who probably has been hooked on drugs more of her life than not. But she's been clean for about 9 years, about 10 years. She was told she couldn't have children at one time, and she ended up having, I think, two or three kids, and they're doing awesome. She's been clean, and she never was a churchgoer. She goes to church. She go to one of them shouting churches. She go to one of them praise lap running churches. Yep, she's at one of the Pentecostal churches in Connecticut. So I remember when my grandfather passed, we went up there, and I remember talking with her, and we were at that church. And, you know, and if I had to give you another testimony, her brother, my Uncle Ronnie, was also hooked on drugs. He's actually one of the ministers at that church now and doing very well. But she sums and she says, so I'm talking to her about God one time and in her faith. And I asked her about her testimony, like, what was it? What changed? What is it? And she told me, she says, you know what? She said, I'm a praiser. She didn't boast about knowing the word of God and about, you know, being a student of the word and all that stuff. She said, I'm a praiser. I said, what do you mean by that? Like, I praise too. You know, what you mean? But when she told me, that's okay, yeah. You, there's a different kind of thing you're doing, because I guess I'm woeful if that's the case, if that's my measure, if you're the standard. But she said, she said, you know what? She said, you know, people look at me funny. You know, she said, I run around here and I'm shouting and I'm praising, literally running around the church. And she said, she says, but you know what? She said, I was hooked on drugs for 20 some odd years. She said, they said I couldn't have children. I got two beautiful children over here. She says, they're clean. They're straight A students. They're doing well. She said, I've been clean. And she said, I'm clean and sober. She said, God is blessing me. I got a roof over my head. She said, so you know what? I shout. That's what I do. You got a problem with me shouting? Well, then that's your problem. He said, because I shout. And I, you know, and as I had my Bible in my hand, I just closed my Bible. I said, you go shout, sister. You go shout. You go shout, auntie. Do your thing, auntie. I'm not about to interrupt that. Thank you, auntie, for sharing that with me. Your testimony. And I got news for you. Every one of you have a testimony. Every one of you has a story. And nobody can tell your story like you. Tell your story. Don't just quote the scriptures. Tell your story. Jesus didn't engage you with Acts chapter 2. Jesus didn't come to you and says, hey, listen, Acts chapter 2 says. No, he didn't. He just went and loved on you and delivered you. He just did it. What emotions, what words can we frame to help somebody know how God has moved in our lives? That's what moves people. That's what challenges people, apart from the word. Why is that? Why am I saying that? Because the word is a means to an end. If you can convey truth to me without quoting scripture, then glory to God. I'd rather understand what truth is rather than only know what the Bible says about truth. Explain it to me. Make it real. Cornelius. I think we have some Corneliuses in this house. Stand on your feet, church. Thank you for listening, and I pray and hope and pray that this word moves you and that it shakes you up, that you understand that the will of God is bigger than all of us. It is not regulated to a list of rules. It's not regulated to a style of worship. It's not regulated to an exclusive group of people. God moves in so many different ways and through so many different people, and we have to be open to what God is trying to do. Are you open today? Are you open? The leader is going to come forward. If there's anyone here that knows that there is a will for their life, and even if you're not certain about what that will is, you could still take your first step. See, one thing you can't do, don't wait till all the lights are green to head down the street. The first light is green, take the first step, go down. God will make clear what the second and third steps are. Young people, you're in school, you're still wondering who you are, you're still searching for who you are. There is a will for you. God has a will. God has a desired outcome for your life. If you need prayer, come on down. If you're not a member of the body of Christ and you want to be, you want to be in his will, you want God to add you, God, let God add you to his big plan by adding you to his body, by loving on you. Will you do that today as we sing today? Open your heart.